The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Fix that. Somebody's been messing with my... There. I get a lot of interference these days. Email being made to vanish and going astray, etc. Strange phone calls late at night. Okay, there's a lot going on. What we're going to do this first hour is welcome back Erica Kahn, our MIT microbiologist colleague. We had a lot of information put on the table last night, and we want to kind of bring that into focus, repeating some of it, because repetition is often very helpful. There is a lot going on today as well. Let me just hit a few quick headlines. That horror in Australia continues. They are pushing those poor people to beyond the breaking point, which is exactly their plan. They've taken 24,000 children, as you know, away from their parents, put them in a sports stadium, and are forcibly injecting them. Two children already are dead. That's what we know about. So they've killed two, and two others were in comas as of yesterday. So this is not a joke. And as it is said often, when they find out the limits, they're going to deploy them in other countries, and we're certainly at the top of the list of other countries. Here in this country, or it used to be a country, they're talking about the COVID CDC camps, which remain to be seen if they're going to be used, how many there are. They're calling it a second Holocaust, potentially. And they're also pointing out now in one story that we will have posted for you shortly that the COVID CDC camps have no plans to allow healthy people to leave. I'm going to process that one. The UK is starting a booster shot program to combine, get ready for this one, the COVID kill shots with flu shots, combine them, and require them every year. Their intentions are quite clear. They're going to make sure that the world population is drastically reduced. U.S. plan to roll out Pfizer and Moderna booster shots beginning September 20th. That's the plan here. So you can get your third shot beginning September 20th for those of you who are so inclined. Most of us are disinclined. We'll see what they're going to do about that. The genocide is ramping up globally, not just here. And it's too easy for most Americans to be myopic and think that, well, it's happening here, it's not happening there. No, it's happening everywhere. That's where it's happening. Erica, welcome back.
Good evening, Jeff. Good to be back. Thank you.
You know, at the beginning of the program, it says, enjoy the program. I guess that's a stretch. I'm thinking about changing it. It's not an enjoyable process. It gets in terms, it might be in terms of intellectually speaking, because you are getting reality and you can make better decisions. Do we know everything about this? We know next to nothing about this. We are doing speculative science. That's what I call it. Speculative science research. And Erica is as good as they get. Many months ago, she put forth on this program that the injuries suffered by the vaxxed appear to be almost identical, if not identical, to radiation poisoning. And that was put on the table very clearly here. No one picked it up, no one ran with it, until the group in Spain. This is a very interesting group of scientists. They're working very hard. They have published another paper today. The group is called La Quinta Columna. They are working on the COVID deaths. They're now of a mind, as you heard last night, that the graphene oxide, apparently, when it is jolted with a surge of 5G EMF, whatever the frequency may be, somehow reacts in a very negative fashion. Let me leave it at that and ask Erica to kind of go over what we did last night. Then I'm going to read today, and I just found this. It came out 10, 12 hours ago from La Quinta Columna, the group. They have another release now with Dr. Jose Seviano. This is a big story. Wait till you hear this one. So, Erica, tell us about graphene oxide, 5G, what we talked about last night, and maybe rephrase it or reconfigure it for our listeners, where we stand to the best of our ability to project in a field that is not being helpful or forthcoming.
Okay, so it appears with the discovery of the graphene or graphene oxide in these vaccines, I guess it's probably been about 6 or 8 weeks ago now that this group in Spain made this announcement. And they tested, initially it was Pfizer, but I believe they've tested all brands now, or at least all four major brands, being the Moderna, Pfizer, J&J, and AstraZeneca. All of them contain this material, graphene oxide. And the manufacturers will say that, well, it increases the uptake and the translation of the genetic material in there. It just makes for a better vaccine. However, we can't ignore the fact that in most situations, or in certain situations anyway, graphene oxide is extremely toxic when it comes into contact with components in the blood. And they've since found out that in a magnetic field, the graphene oxide can do quite a bit of damage in terms of generating free radicals, and it has an amplifying or multiplying effect with these frequencies, particularly the ones that are coming off of 5G and exciting the molecules in the graphene to a point where they become ionizing. It becomes a form of ionizing radiation, and they determine this by taking the Geiger counter out into their neighborhoods or cities and being in the vicinity of a 5G tower, and at various times of the day, typically apparently at night in most cases, they were able to pick up a radioactive signal. And they conjecture that there is graphene saturating our atmosphere, the ambient environment right now, probably from chemtrails, and just this suspended graphene, nanoparticles of graphene, which you can't really see, is absorbing these waves, and they themselves, these particles, are becoming radioactive during the time that they're exposed to these frequencies. Now, you can inhale these. However, if you're vaxxed and you now have this material in your body, permeating your every cell and tissue in your body, you too can become a sort of antenna for these waves. And the end result is that at times they will become radioactive and wreak all of the damage and havoc that a radioactive material would wreak, including oxidizing cell membranes, destroying the cell membrane, and possibly even the DNA, the nucleus and the DNA contained therein. And the damage that's incurred from radiation poisoning is the worst kind. It's called a double strand break. It's the hardest type to repair adequately or correctly. And, of course, if you're saturated with this or exposed to it chronically, as we're going to be with the rollout of 5G and eventually 6G, you're basically cooking yourself from the inside out. So even if you shield yourself from some of these frequencies, you can protect your skin. I mean, the biggest danger from 5G is to the skin because the sweat glands act like an antenna of sorts. But now you've got the graphene inside you if you've been vaxxed, and that will pick up these waves as well. And I believe that many of these symptoms we're seeing now in the vaxxed, and in some cases in the bystanders, the people that are forced to be in proximity to the vaxxed, are suggestive of radiation poisoning. We've got hair loss, we've got nausea and vomiting, we've got headaches, we've got lung issues, clotting issues.
Internal hemorrhaging.
Spontaneous bleeding.
Yeah.
And a number of cases being reported of leukemia.
Acute leukemia.
A month of having the vax.
Very quick
onset.
That tells
me that's radiation.
Yeah. I agree. This is maybe the biggest rollout yet in terms of citizen science that we've been able to put together on this. And you were months ago talking about this on the program. And I was just kind of trying to piece it together. Well, how do we get radiation from 5G? Well, now we understand that this graphene oxide, when it's exposed apparently to certain frequencies, just amplifies the hell out of them. And yes, cooked from the inside out. That's the potential.
It seems to be happening. And it's not a coincidence, I don't believe, that graphene is the preferred material for these 5G antennas that you're seeing.
They are making them with graphene component, yes. Graphene, for those of you who don't know, tell us a little bit about the physical characteristics of graphene. How tough is it?
It is the strongest material known to man. It's 400 times stronger than stainless steel. It really is a wonder material if you're, you know, you want to build super light aircraft or reinforced concrete or a wide variety of things. And it comes in the configuration. It's all hexagons. It's a single layer of carbon atoms in a hexagonal formation, similar to chicken wire.
So
it's
okay.
Flat.
So you got it. So this is interesting because graphene, as I understand it, is carbon. So the body wouldn't necessarily go crazy with more carbon in it because we're carbon-based. How is that working out?
That's true. That's true. It is used for tissue scaffolding and applications of that nature. But you have to understand, when you nanosize something and you get it down to a size that can bypass cell membranes and all of the cellular defenses and override ion channels and signaling molecules, now you're really messing with the most fundamental processes in the human body, and you're not really giving it a chance to regulate it in any sensible fashion. I mean, these things may contain a positive charge, and if they build up on either side of a membrane, such as your mitochondrial membrane, you can uncouple that mitochondria and depolarize it to the point where it's non-functional. So you've basically destroyed your mitochondria, and with that comes cell death.
Apoptosis.
So nanoparticulates can really wreak a lot of havoc because they're so small that they can interfere with cellular signaling in a very, very detrimental way.
A very deadly detrimental way. I think we've made it clear from the beginning that we have every expectation that there are a number of baseline nano bots, nanomachines, nanodevices, self-replicating, including send-receive, which we'll get through here in a few minutes too, transceivers. This is really big stuff. The incredible sophistication, if that's, I don't want to compliment anybody, but the sophisticated layers of this vaccine and how it can potentially do severe damage to the human body is really extraordinary. Whoever put this together over the years, and maybe they had off-planet help, I don't know. I'm just saying that from everything I'm learning, and I'm no scientist like Erica is, I am stunned at the multiplicity of fashions that this vax can go into the body or be shed to an unvaxxed innocent bystander and cause damage. This is extraordinary. As you know, we are trying to watch very carefully for you and monitor innocent bystanders and what's happening to them. If you are living with someone who is vaxxed, you are being exposed, and you are in all likelihood one of those who have already been damaged. It's happening all over the place. What's the general trend in that regard, Erica, that you know about?
Yeah, I am coming across more and more reports supporting that it's unquestionable. The blood shows it of the bystanders. I mean, they're having symptoms, but then when you go to look at the blood, the symptoms are, you know, totally accounted for by the condition of their blood. It's as if they were vaxxed. They're calling it contagious vaccinosis.
Contagious vaccinosis, ghost vaccinations, so to speak. This is not good. That's why we remember in the beginning, and forgive me, I've said this many times, they only called for, I believe, in the beginning an 80%. They were hoping to get 80% of the people in the world vaxxed. Well, right away, what's your thought process? Well, what about the other 20%? And the idea is there is some way to contaminate that other 20% when you get 4/5 of the populace inoculated, vaccinated, contaminated, poisoned, which is what it is. Think of those poor children in New South Wales, Australia. 24,000 of them taken from their parents. Parents not allowed to see them. Put into a sports stadium complex. And they're all being forcibly... This is not human behavior, not by any stretch. And they're killing these kids, some of them already. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's just hard to wrap your head around.
Don't see how I could. All right, we're going to go through the break at the bottom of the hour because we have that much information, and I want to start by reading the latest from La Quinta Columna on COVID deaths that were treated as radiation fatalities. Now, there are two gentlemen involved, Ricardo Delgado, and I cannot pronounce his last name. We'll call him Ricardo Delgado. There's another title after his name, but I'll leave it at that. And then Dr. Jose Seviano. And these are extraordinary people doing world-class work and should be commended at the highest level. All right, I'm just going to pick my way through this, and then we'll stop and talk about it, keeping in mind that we're seeing more and more claims from this group of irradiated bodies and radioactive-type damage. And it's been verified by Geiger counters that these 5G towers are resulting in the creation of amplified irradiation. How it's working exactly, we don't know, but there is a definite direct connection. All right, this is a caption under one of the first freeze frames. It wasn't that they were going to infect others with radioactivity or anything, but they had characteristics of irradiated bodies. That's your opener. Now, remember, this is a translation, and it's not maybe as good or exact or as scientific as it might be, but it's plenty close. Early in the pandemic, in certain countries, the first COVID deaths were labeled as radiation deaths. Oh, not here, that didn't happen. This didn't make any sense at all at first, but now that research has progressed And it's being proven that COVID is a smokescreen name for radiation sickness. The reason for such a protocol is now understood. La Quinta Columna comments on the subject in a new video prepared by them. And I'm going to start reading here. Any comment before I start on this? And no, I don't know if you've been able to see this or not. I just found it within the last half an hour.
No, I haven't seen it yet, so this is interesting.
Okay. Ricardo Delgado says, I have to say that I was very surprised when the deceased were classified according to the protocol of the World Health Organization, and because it was initially done here in Spain, as, quote, patients who died from irradiation, end quote. These people had that in mind, meaning the World Health Organization. Now here's Dr. Seviano. That's also true, and that didn't make sense to me either. I said, and how is this possible? I was moving in a range of energies that weren't ionizing. And when that happened, I said, well, I don't know. It's probably because they're more careful with dead bodies or whatever. Sure, now we know why. Now we know. This makes perfect sense, all of it. They knew that the corpses were going to show signs of, careful, it wasn't that they were going to infect others with radioactivity or anything, but they had characteristics of irradiated bodies. That is to say, they presented all the damage that radiation generates. Dr. Seviano continues, of course not the same as being irradiated because you have been contaminated with radioactive elements. That is to say, it's not the same as receiving radioactive uranium because you breathe it or because you are enveloped in a radioactive cloud of dust. Another thing is being exposed to the radiation that these elements can cause elsewhere, right? You aren't contaminated with radioactive elements, but you receive the waves. Remember what Tesla said? Everything is frequency. You receive the waves emitted by antennas. Therefore, you don't infect, you don't contaminate anyone with radioactivity, unlike the one who has been exposed to those elements that are in suspension in the atmosphere, just like in Chernobyl and Hiroshima, etc. So what is in suspension in the atmosphere, Erica? What is he talking about?
I believe he's alluding to the graphene oxide.
Correct. Exactly right. Now, I want to give credit to my friend Dane Wigington, who on July 24th put out one of his weeklies, which said, graphene oxide in chemtrails. He didn't have definitive proof of anything, but he did state that as the title. So he was looking into it back then. Okay. Dr. Seviano continues. Now, this is brand new today. What's in the atmosphere when a bomb or a reactor explodes is a cloud of smoke, dust, basically, composed of radioactive elements that are emitting rays of all kinds from a source. Those rays get into the ground, penetrate the water table, and contaminate the water. And that can literally contaminate the entire planet via the water table. Think Fukushima. That's right. That's because the cloud contains the radioactive elements that are releasing waves endlessly, continually, and continuously. Those aren't pulses. And another thing is that you receive radiation. You aren't contaminated with these elements, but you're being irradiated and you get home and don't contaminate anybody else. You're just blanked up and half dead. Otherwise, you're going to die in a few days, in a few weeks, or later, and that's different. That's why you can apply a radiation protocol to these people. It's not going to contaminate anybody, but you know it's an irradiated corpse. Those are the characteristics that these corpses have. And then there's a terrific chart, and I'll have this story posted for you shortly. So that was a statement today from Dr. Seviano. And the chart here shows where all the radioactive damages are showing up. Exactly what you said many months ago. It's all here, and they've stumbled across it. So again, it's not that the 5G tower is throwing out radioactive iodine, radioactive cesium, etc. It's creating the emission of radioactive waves from, we believe, and what he believes, is the graphene oxide suspended in the atmosphere and certainly laced throughout the bodies of all of those who have been vaxxed. Erica?
Yeah, that's correct. A concerning thing, I mean, the first order of business, I would think, is find a way to get this stuff out of you, if you can. I want to call attention to a study that was, it was an informal study, survey, that was done in Luxembourg, published in June of this year. After we had seen the evidence that vaxxed people, and sometimes unvaxxed people, were becoming magnetic. So this group in Luxembourg, calling themselves the European Forum for Vaccine Vigilance, did an informal study where they went out and they ideally wanted to get 100 unvaxxed people and 100 vaxxed people and just see if they were magnetic at the injection site and also on the opposite arm. End of the story is that they didn't quite get 100. They managed to get 30 vaxxed and 30 unvaxxed with an equal distribution of men and women in both groups. And they found that everyone who had had the vaccine, and it was the, you know, the top four vaccines, Moderna, Pfizer, J&J, and A&Z, I believe 29, maybe all of them. Let me look here. They were all magnetic at the injection site. Most of them were also magnetic on the opposite arm. None of the unvaxxed had that magnetism in their arm or anywhere else that they tested. But curiously, when they asked them, how long ago did you have the vax, it turned out that the longer out they were from having had the vax, the more magnetic they were. And that's a bit of
disturbing.
A concern, because it looks like that over time the magnetism is actually increasing. So it may be a situation where all that's required is the seed, such as what's coming through the vax or what's going up somebody's nose at the end of a nasal swab, and that's enough to start the process of graphene networking itself throughout the body, which is, I believe, what they want, just to permeate all the extracellular space.
Correct. Remember the videos we had on the homepage, everyone, showing the graphene oxide reacting to a magnet, for example, and then free of magnetism, reacting amongst itself, constructing itself into long chains. This is a very, very interesting compound. Is that what you'd call it, a compound? I don't know. Substance?
Well, it's an element. It's an allotrope of carbon.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
With very unique electrical properties.
Which, now being that it's carbon, the human body would tend toward accepting it and not going into
very attractive for uses in biomedical applications. But, you know, you've got to be careful with it.
All right.
But, you know, it's also attractive in, you know, if you know the story about trying to blend iron and clay, then carbon's perfect for that.
Wow.
And I believe, you know, that's what this whole transhumanist thing is all about, iron and clay. But you need a bridge, and carbon can provide that bridge in certain situations.
I think your original thesis that these people somehow were showing an exact overlay of radioactive poisoning has been thoroughly validated and vindicated by this group in Spain. There's no doubt in my mind that they are doing top class work, and I think some, those of you who've been following them at all understand that. So, well done, Erica, in the beginning. You saw this. I didn't see it. And you think after all the years of following Fukushima, I might have, but I didn't. It just didn't occur to me. this is not to take anything away from the spike protein in any way. This is, as I said in the beginning, another tentacle of this monstrous concoction that they are hell-bent on forcing into every living being. And if you think any of the people at the top of the political pyramid are getting these vaxes, you've been sleeping in a cave. They're getting saline. That's it. Go ahead.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you can create all the symptoms of a disease just by injecting people with graphene. I mean, if you weaken the organism, the host, by dosing them with this kind of stuff and exposing them to these electromagnetic frequencies, generating this horrendous free radical stress, which is what ionizing radiation does inside the body, you know, you can slap any label on it and people will believe it because nobody asks any questions these days. They just follow the words of Dr. Death and do whatever he says. They don't have to do anything more than what they're doing right now. You know, just inject people with graphene every 3 months.
The booster shots. What any just reflexive guess on what they're trying to do with that? Is that just another dose of graphene primarily?
Find the LD50 for. It's an experiment. It could be anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, mixing it up with Fluvax, which is now quadrivalent. This is crazy.
I have my suspicions as to if there's, I mean, this year's flu shot, if it's going to be anything even remotely related to the flu. They can put anything they want in there. Why wouldn't they?
And the patent says so. And if you haven't read the patent, please do, everyone.
Yeah, so they've got carte blanche. They've got a license to kill. You'd have to be crazy to take anything coming through a needle from these people.
I'm really sorry for there are more and more coming forward now who are extremely unhappy with themselves. They're blaming themselves and blaming the government for lying to them. They took the shots, and they know now that their lives are certainly going to be more difficult at the very least. And they are killing people every day with this stuff. Every damn day. Maybe over 1 million Americans have died directly and indirectly from these so-called vaccines. They're kill shots. This is all they are.
And there's really no recourse for these people. They drag themselves from doctor to doctor, and in some cases wait months to see, you know, a neurologist or a cardiologist to find out what's wrong. And they get to their appointment, if they can get an appointment, and the doctors just throw their hands up. They have nothing to offer them.
Yeah, I think a lot of them tell the patient, I don't know, I can't help you, and because they don't want to get involved. I know there's some of that going on. All right, now, you had something else that I was going to ask you about. Well, let me do this Russian thing. The idea of needles. If you have any way to avoid being tested, we know it's in the swabs. We know it's in those things. Not everyone, but we know what has been found in some of them, and you do not want that in your body. But the Russians, and we cannot confirm this. I want to be real clear on this. Can't confirm it. But I'm going to read this, and this came out of a social media group a few months ago. It was very quickly censored and removed. At the time, the individual who sent this in didn't know if it was credible or not, so they didn't give it much stock. But given the recent determination of graphene oxide in Pfizer's vax, it is now beginning to look entirely plausible. All right, the story goes like this. Warning, vaccine. The Russians managed to get nanochips out of Pfizer's vaccine and published the scheme and functions. I will take you briefly through it all. The chip consists of only 4 processors and 4 transistors. The signal via the 5G network enters the input on the left. By doing so, They control you. Power is supplied through your body heat, and all parts are connected to that voltage. The signal is processed in the first processor by a frequency filter and a transistor, which amplifies it. The amplified signal goes further to another processor controlled by its MT-2 gain, or what the level of influence on your psyche will be. This control is variable and can be increased or decreased as desired. Remotely, this is all remote. The original record says that part has, and I'm quoting, quote, an unholy amount of gain, which is very, very bad. Remember what they found, allegedly, four processors and four transistors in one tiny chip. With silicon diodes, they control the current they release to activate the virus in the vaccine, after which everything goes through another phase of signal amplification. Graphene oxide, amplification, always remember that, and filtering of external influences, thus preventing doctors from detecting the chip with scanners, literally hiding it. The TL-072 is a very expensive processor and is especially used for military purposes. You can't get it just like that at Chipotle or something. The bass and treble controls adjust the instructions you can hear in your head. This is V2K, voice to skull. Each person is different, and depending on whether you're a woman or a man, may require frequency adjustment. This is also served by the 5G frequency control, which moves the scooped mid control for a stronger shock of voltage in case your immune system is extremely strong. They want to overcome that. The volume control serves the overall power of the chip, which is sometimes sensitive to your personal and personal vibrational frequency, depending on whether you are in a phase of happiness or generosity or sadness. Remember, there's a frequency for every emotion. It's all frequencies. Out flushes detox toxins, O-U-T, out flushes detox toxins into your body as byproducts of chip functioning. You will notice that the diagram, which I do not have, also includes the foot switch control, which serves to allow the chip to be covertly transported to various parts of the body by recognizing and working with acupressure points on the foot by turning it on and off during your daily routine. They thought of everything, but they didn't count on good people all over the world. That's the end of that story. Again, I cannot validate it, but it is very interesting and seems to fit like a foot in a shoe.
Yeah, it sounds like science fiction, but we know through the work of Charles Lever at Harvard, at the very least, that this type of thing has been going on for some time. I mean, this is what they're into.
Well, what did, 3 years ago, he gave the address, and he talked about creating human cells, being able to send them to anywhere in the body, and they would begin to produce anything that we wanted. You know who I mean. That he gave that lecture. There were only about 10 people there or something. Anyway, it was amazing.
Yeah, I do remember that, and you know, that's... By now, or even by the time it came out, if they're talking about it, it's probably at least 5 years old, and they're onto something else, and we're getting the scraps.
I think that was at the time, 2018, if I remember correctly. I'm looking this up right now. It wasn't Hoffe. That's Dr. Charles Hoffe demonstrated patients showing microclots within 1 week of receiving their vax. We think it could be less than that.
Yeah, that was Hoffe. I know who you're thinking of. I'm drawing a blank. But he was giving a lecture to West Point students.
That's it. Yeah.
And it was on, the reprogramming the brain, essentially, and introducing stem cells to migrate to the brain and set up shop. And some might have receptors on them for certain external stimulus.
I would invite all of you again to go to the right-hand side, the archive for this whole coronavirus vaccine nightmare, spike protein nightmare. It's all there. Dr. Charles Morgan.
That was it.
Okay. Let me do this. Just for fun, I don't think this is very long. I'm going to play part of it. If it's still up, it may have been taken down. Let's see. Oh, it's still there. Okay. I don't know how long this is. I'm just going to start it.
Seeing and recording that activity and put it into the sensory cortex of a second animal, and that animal acquires the knowledge. From the human drone technology standpoint, you can attach the human brain to another human brain. You can direct motor activity, or you can send communication and information. Dr. Ventnor's work is, my view, the equivalent of the development of nuclear weapons when you realize that he created life in a cell. He programmed yeast cells to produce anything he wanted. These can be inserted into you through the hypospray needles. You put in a specific gene slicing. You program what you like. You put it in the cell, and it can reproduce and make as much as you like.
All right. Now, this is only 2 minutes long. I just want to stop this. Did you hear what this man just said? And this was 3 or 4 years ago. He said the human body cell can be genetically directed through the DNA to produce anything you want it to produce, any substance you can imagine. That doesn't boggle your mind. Nothing will. And he says it so matter-of-factly. Here, I'm going to back this up just a little. I want you to hear this. And this is in that right-hand column. Look for Dr. Charles Morgan.
A specific gene slicing, you program what you like, you put it in the cell, and it can reproduce and make as much as you like. It sends a signal and tells which portion of the DNA should unwrap, unfold, and produce a product. Related to this is an idea called DREADs. These are designer receptors that can be remotely controlled. You can create a cell, you can put it somewhere in the body, and you can remotely activate it. So you have the capacity to create any product. As long as you know the DNA sequence, you can insert it into a living system, and you can remotely control it.
Did you get that? Dear friends, and I'm as mind-boggled as I was the first time I heard this. And this technology has been released. He let this go in a speech at West Point. You can design any cell in the human body to literally do anything, to produce any substance you want. How about arsenic? You're dead. They change the genetics in your cell. They give you a frequency. It triggers the DNA to go to work. And you're gone. You're gone.
Yeah, this is routine now.
It's all done remotely. Completely routine. All right, here's the rest of it.
It may affect the way you think, the way you act. So once you know that the technology is there to edit, splice, and program a cell, and the technology currently exists to administer it to somebody and have it go park anywhere you program it to go park, proliferate, and do its function, you can have things activated in other people's brains. Just people have figured out how to hide imagery in the DNA of bacteria. You can have the information reproduced in a string form as a form of a protein. The new way to hide information is going to be in DNA. This is the first experiment showing what imagery you can hide in bacteria. This is the latest. It's a GIF file. Well, this is what the Chinese are doing with DNA. Merging DNA systems with quantum computing will be really quite an amazing and both lethal threat. The next thing I wanted to mention to you is memory. Can we erase memory? Can we modify memory? Can we change memory? Short answer is yes.
Short answer is yes. Is your memory your own? Is your memory of something you did once real? Did you ever really do it? Who are you? Are you them? Are you a Borg? What are you? Are you a compendium of what they want you to be? This technology is all on the table and functional.
Yeah, you look around and you wonder what's driving people's behavior these days.
How many times have we talked about that? That in my view, at least, I'm not speaking for Erica, but something has happened to the rank and file of American citizens. They're not active. They're anesthetized. They're tranquilized. They're laid back. They're compliant. They're complacent. It's amazing. Here we just had an explanation as to how they can do it. Just one way. Go ahead, Erica.
I just want to say that DNA now, I mean, we have this ability to synthesize DNA very, very easily. And so it is becoming the new storage medium. And its ability to store information, it far exceeds anything they ever did with silicon. So the fact that they can do this with something like DNA, you know, is actually frightening, because if it does end up in a biological system and can be read and can be translated, well...
Where's the limit? Where does it end? Where does it stop? There is
right.
No limit. There is no stopping it.
You know,
They'll do whatever they want.
I have to wonder what's in this... If there's any mRNA in these vaccines or genetic material, and it's not just graphene oxide or some other toxicant, what is it coding for? Because it has to be a lot more than spike protein. In some cases, I even wonder if it is spike protein based on the number of people who have been vaxxed yet are not showing antibodies that indicate they've been vaxxed. So what are they coding for? They could be coding for... let's just say, an anti-progesterone hormone. Would that explain the bleeding issues that all these women are having? Something that just annihilates or negates their body's own progesterone.
Which is still going on, by
the bleeding issues.
It has not slowed down. It has not slowed down at all.
Oh, no.
More and more reports all the time of reproductive-type problems, terrible bleeding. This is not a joke. This is a nightmare beyond belief.
No, some of these women have had to, had to have medical intervention to stop the bleeding, cauterizing or whatever they do to take care of that. But it's that bad. I mean, you can't go for months and months bleeding that way without suffering some consequences.
Changes to the period after the COVID jab, the latest in over 30,000 UK women who are being tracked. There's one. Here's another email I got. I'm working on this. I'm not going to name any names here, but I'm trying to get the gentleman to come on. Dear Jeff, a fellow called who was one of your dedicated listeners for years, his wife and daughter got vaxxed. He refuses to get vaccinated. He said, my wife is now like a zombie since then. My daughter is in bad shape. It's terrible. So I'm trying to get this gentleman to come on the program and tell his story. I would suspect that there are more than a few of you listening who have seen changes in people that you know and love over this issue, just mentally and intellectually. But the other side of that coin is physiologically, what's happened to them? What's being done to them? You just heard Dr. Charles Morgan. Look at the potential. It's limitless. I don't know.
Yeah, in some cases, I almost think, you know, because the electrical circuitry, the flow of electrons through the body is so distorted that they're losing voltage. They're just not able to generate enough energy to run their physiology. And it's like a battery that's being drained.
Major organ shutdown, major organ failure, death. No voltage.
Yeah, it's like old person's disease. They just run out of steam and just, I mean, really, when you think about it, life is the flow of electrons, and if you're not able to keep them flowing in the right direction, you're just decompensating.
You're deconstructing too. People, they're just fading away. Fading away.
Yeah, I mean, if you cannot generate ATP for whatever reason, let's just say the mitochondria are all destroyed because of these nanoparticles and oxidative stress.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at a certain point, the body just doesn't overcome that sort of insult.
Also,
you can protect yourself from a virus with... What, 1% fatality, if that?
Yeah, yeah. What's really, I think, worth mentioning again is that we are being lied to in an unprecedented avalanche of lies. Everything is a lie now, to one degree or another. And one of the most disgusting forms of lying is the lie of omission. They just don't tell you. They leave things out. That's a lie. All right. Thank you very much, Erica. It's a very challenging situation we face for our very survival.
Yeah, it certainly is an ongoing battle.
Okay. Thanks
well,
much.
Well, thanks for having me, Jeff.
You bet. Good night. Bye.
Okay. Good night.
All right. We'll be right back with hour two in just a minute.